This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Kyle Yeomans and Corey Majors.
Thank you very much.
You got replaced for top billing.
I'm fine with that.
You know why you got replaced? And Kyle, I'll admit this too. And I don't know if you've noticed this because we're very subtle on this show. The C Block is somewhat of a double entendre. And so I was thinking about making a joke about the triplets, and then I thought that feels too far, and then I panicked.
No, you can do that. I'm okay with it. I'll give you permission if you want to make a joke about it.
You don't know what the joke is, so you
It was just going to be the C Block starring Corey Majors and now living it every day of his life, Kyle Yeomans.
No, that's good. That's good. I like it. I did give you a lot of trust there by just blindly giving you faith that it would be an okay joke, but that was good. I like it.
Thank Part you. Of being a team is trusting.
Thank you.
Have you had to have all three diapers changed at one time? Have you run into that situation yet?
Oh, yeah. That situation happens like all the time. They all woke up last night at 11 o'clock. They went down at like 7. I was working a game at North Texas, and so I got home like thinking, oh, everything's good. They went down early. That's great. And then they all woke up at 11 and were just screaming bloody murder. So that was interesting having to
talk already.
That. My wife had already gone to bed too, so it was just me kind of trying to maneuver all three at one time and making sure that they're all taken care of. Yeah, it's been a juggling match for sure.
Did you just say juggling match? But also, is there one baby that you think riles up the other ones?
Yes, absolutely. It's Mikey. Mikey is the one. So Noelle and Leo are both super chill. And then Mikey is like the mover, and he's the first one to like wake up and kind of make some noise. And then usually he's the most talkative as well. So he'll just start like talking to himself. And in doing so, it wakes up the other ones or it gets them all riled up, and they start talking back and they start messing around. And the other day I saw him like basically, it looked like a high school wrestling match where that one's actually supposed to be a match, not a juggling match. But it was a wrestling match between Mikey, and he was like, one hand was on the back of Noelle's head, and the other one was on like her back shoulder, and he was like holding her down in the play mat. And I was like, okay, guys, we gotta chill out here.
Competition runs deep in your family.
Kevin says book. I'm thinking TV series. That's what I'm thinking right now.
Look, I would watch that as well. Now, it looks like, and please correct me if I'm wrong on this front, Bland, Jerry Jones, thinks is good to go. Cooks looks like he's going to be good to go this weekend. Where are we at in the return of Marshawn Nyland?
I think he's probably a little further behind than those two guys.
Okay.
But I also think there's a hope that he does go this week. If not, I think it'll be next week. Mike McCarthy kind of said that earlier this week and was like saying along the lines of he's got to put foot to ground. He's got to put torque in the knee, like he's got to actually get some reps in. It's kind of what happened with Deron Bland going into week 6 against the Detroit Lions. Was everybody was saying, oh, he's good to go, oh, he's great, and then he had the setback on Friday and hasn't been able to practice until this week. So things like that can happen, but I think barring a significant setback for either Brandon Cooks or Deron Bland, they will play. I don't think you need a setback to see Marshawn Nyland take another week off. It's mainly, is he ready to go, and does he help your team at the edge rusher spot and in that rotation if he is available at whatever current state he's at? So I think maybe a little bit further down the line for Marshawn Nyland, but it's not out of the question that he plays against the Commanders.
Potentially on the flip side, where are we looking at with the walking wounded offensive line?
A little bit tougher to kind of see where that one's going to go because there was no open media portion of practice yesterday. We just got done with the media portion of practice today, and even then, they weren't running offensive drills. They weren't running team drills. It's mostly special teams and a little bit of position stuff. So, I mean, the offensive line itself is a question mark, mostly around Zach Martin and Tyler Smith. I think Terrence Steele is probably good to go going into this weekend. However, the two guard spots are definitely in question, and if that's the case, you're going to probably see T.J. Bass, Brock Hoffman, maybe Awesem Richards. You can push him inside if you want to. So then it turns into a competition for the guys at the second level of your depth chart. But still kind of a big question mark. I don't even want to say one way or the other on Martin or Smith. It's okay. That big of a question for me.
Do you think that Terry McLaurin will be held without a target until the third quarter in this matchup?
I hope so.
That would be nice. That would be great. But to have that happen again, I doubt it. I mean, we've seen it with CeeDee Lamb, right? You got to get your guys the ball early, your playmakers the ball early. They're going to try and feed Terry McLaurin pretty early on. I think they'll probably try and feed Noah Brown, too. Former Cowboy in his own right, having a decent season. Of course, caught that famous Hail Mary against Chicago down the stretch. I think they're going to try and feed both of those guys pretty significantly early on.
The turnovers, I think it was it Babe this morning I heard say the turnovers for Washington, 10. And
they've only turned the ball over 5 times.
Yeah,
though.
But they've also only gotten the ball 10 times in these games. And with the Cowboys, Dan Quinn's defense was constantly getting turnovers. What can you kind of, do you know exactly what's going on there or what the Washington defense looks like right now? And maybe it's not exactly what Quinn wants yet.
Yeah, I think he's still trying to put his hands on that defense and try and kind of mold it to what he wants. And he's seen progress. In weeks 1 through 4, this team was allowing 290-plus yards of total offense. They were still winning games because their offense was going at an unbelievable level and Jaden Daniels was doing what he was doing. But the defense wasn't great in weeks 1 through 4. They were actually 29th in pressure rate over the first month of the season. Since then, they've had pressure on 42% of their snaps, and they're 3rd in the league in pressure rate moving forward. So I do think that the pressure, and it goes back to what he did here in Dallas, it helps force takeaways. It helps force turnovers. That's why Trayvon Diggs had the success that he had. That's why Deron Bland had the success that he had. Because Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence and Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler Jr., who, of course, both of those guys are on the Commanders, but all of those guys had success rushing the passer and forcing errant throws and mistakes and quick decisions, bad decisions from opposing quarterbacks. They've finally unlocked the pressure, but now they've just got to see the turnovers become a problem. Now, so far this year, the Cowboys offense has been the pharmacy for what teams have been ailed with going into that matchup.
True.
The Cowboys have helped solve problems for other teams because they aren't running the ball well, go play the Cowboys. They aren't securing any takeaways, go play the Cowboys. That's kind of been the case, and that's the case again this week, is they've been getting pressure. They're going to do so again on Cooper Rush. I think that's just plain and simple. You're going to see Cooper Rush under distress throughout the game. It's whether or not he can make the decisions and keep the ball from the Washington secondary. That's going to be the difference between winning and losing for the Cowboys on Sunday.
Also, I don't know how much – I know you're a film guy. You like to watch this last game against Philadelphia. For them, it seemed like Jaden Daniels was as conservative as I've seen him. He didn't necessarily go downfield a lot, and I don't know how much of that was he was afraid to pull the trigger or, man, the Eagles just took those things away from him.
Well, he's nursing a rib injury, which is, I think,
but they continue to dispute that.
What do you mean?
Sorry, Kyle, but don't – Don't the Commanders continue to dispute that? Like, Dan Quinn is like, nah, he's fine.
He's on the sideline with a wrap during the game.
Yeah, I can see them disputing that, but look at the numbers. The numbers are significantly in favor. Since he suffered the injury in week 7, Kevin.
Yeah.
And so since that week 7 game, he hasn't had any, he hasn't had the full range of motion or rib, whatever. Whatever it may be, he might be fine to play, but he's not running the football as much. In weeks 1 through 7, he averaged 54 rushing yards per game. He had 4 rushing touchdowns, and he was averaging, I think, like 7.3 yards per carry. I might be off on that number. I know the first two numbers are correct. The last number is what he's done since then, 24 yards per game rushing on offense, and he hasn't had a single rushing score, and I think he's averaging like 3.2 yards per carry. So he almost slashed his rushing totals in half on average, not total, but on average, over those last 4 or 5 games because of what he might be dealing with in the rib injury. So, yeah, in terms of playing, I think they can.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Continue to dispute it, to say, yeah, he's going to be out there. He's going to compete. He's going to do what he needs to do in order to try and win, even though they haven't won the last two games. He gives them their best opportunity to win those. And if that means maybe taking a step back and maybe not running the football as much, I think that's either a subconscious decision from Jaden Daniels, or it's a conscious decision from either Daniels or the training staff saying, let's chill it out and save that for the rest of the season when we're going to need it the most.
Kyle, you're awesome at this, man. We really appreciate it. Do you think that you can hop on with the Stern Peace-a-thon next week since we won't be on Thursday?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be upset if you didn't ask me to hop on during Peace-a-thon.
Well, that's kind of up to you a little bit, isn't
gosh,
it, Kyle?
Here goes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
How are we doing over there?
Now, would you take anything from the Texas Legends?
We got to go.
All right, Kyle, you know what? We'll do this off air. We'll talk with you next week.
They still have Mo Egger jerseys there?
Thanks, Kyle.
We'll figure it out. See you guys later.
There he goes, Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com.
Sounds like he has not accomplished his task.
Maybe he's just been very busy with all those triplets. All right, Kevin.
I can't imagine how he even has time to do anything ever with all the babies.
By the way, go see our friends, the G-Bag Nation, at Hurtado Barbecue today. Do you like Hurtado, Kevin?
Yes, I do. Mm. Hurtado in Arlington. It's delicious.
Yes.
They don't serve buttered popcorn there. I said it. I didn't say it well, but I said it. I got it out.
Good. I don't want popcorn.
You're doing great, Mike.
So you would have pretzels in hell.
Mm-hmm.
He would have buttered popcorn.
Buttered popcorn, it sounds like. By the way, in addition to doing that, Antonio Brown has tweeted out, thank you, Alec, for this one. Ironic enough, I'll be at the Steelers and Chiefs game on Christmas. If need be, I got the world again. So he's saying, guys, look, if the Netflix stream crashes,
he didn't get in trouble for this.
Doesn't look like he did.
I feel like you'd get in trouble for this.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure why that is.
And maybe he doesn't care.
Because Netflix is cracking down on like sharing with more than 2 people. He's like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
There's 6 million. They're like, that's fine.
I wanted to just kind of see what my notes said on Tyler Guyton whenever I was watching him, and we were in Arizona when I started kind of watching some film on some guys. And here's my notes. Tell me if I nailed Tyler Guyton here.
Dadgummit, stop.
Where?
Monster.
In Frisco?
I wish he was better with his hands, and I feel like that's going to hurt him at some point. Good athleticism. I wish he could stick to a block better, but a lot of raw athleticism and size. With a good offensive line, he can be very good.
We don't have a good offensive line.
And he still doesn't stick to his blocks as well as you'd like, and his hands and feet just aren't as like quick as I want them to be. So I feel like I got that one right, and it's kind of played out. But still monster. With the right training, I hope he can grow into a better offensive lineman.
Sounds like you nailed him.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. And then, Kevin, I just saw this. What is 19 zeros when it comes to numbers?
Let's talk about it. I have done the math. Is this an asteroid question?
This is an asteroid question. There are 19 zeros in this.
It is $10 quintillion.
Last month, NASA sent a SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket to go and probe 16 Psyche, one of the largest discovered M-type asteroids. The spacecraft will travel 2.2 billion miles to its destination, located in the main asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. Most asteroids we know are made up of rock and ice. This one, composed of metals which could greatly benefit our economy, hence its huge monetary value. It could be platinum and other...
gold,
yeah.
Cobalt.
Plutonium.
Plutonium, copper, and iridium.
Yeah, there's an asteroid out there that's made of all those metals that could be worth up to 10 quintillion...
Correct.
Dollars. We're going to be billionaires, Mike.
That is many multiples of the world's economy.
We're going to make so much money off this.
But who is the we in that? Do you think they're going to bring it back to Earth? Well, first
of all... We're all Americans.
Okay. So
NASA found it first, right?
Are they going to bring it back to Earth?
Just put a flag on it and it's ours.
Actually, you know what? Really interestingly enough, this is the plot of one of the seasons of For All Mankind.
Really?
But is it just going to come down to Earth and they're going to chip away and be like, here's your chunk, sir.
Yeah.
Here you go, man.
Probably so.
There's no way.
Or maybe they'll break it apart up there and bring it and tow it back on like a tugboat.
Don't you think we should be able to do cool ass NASA things again?
Yes.
Like go to Mars and be like, hey, we have more money than all of the world has combined.
Yeah.
Let's start going back up into space and doing cool
then
things.
Then bring Space Force back, you know?
I don't know. Maybe.
But seriously, if you haven't watched For All Mankind on Apple TV, I started watching it kind of like there's nothing else for me to watch. I guess I'll watch this. And then I was like, damn, this is a really good show. And then I asked Kevin, I was like, have you seen this yet? He's already seen, what, 4 seasons of it?
Correct.
And I'm like on season 2 right now, and I just saw the greatest episode I think I've seen. I'm about to see the next one,
Kevin tells me.
So I'm really looking forward to it. Y'all check it out. I think this is a show that our show can continue to follow. And get in on right there. And plus, it's about space where we could make $10 quintillion.
And I'll add this. Dustin, I think Josh Smith is like super utility. I don't think he's an everyday player, everyday DH.
All right. Thanks, okay. Mike. And
that's for YouTube. They was, if I saw it.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we puck around and find out. Let's talk Star Sharks, but also... the NHL player poll, all of it next right here on The Fan.
Rope hits, flip for Johnston, score! What a move! Johnston got it off to his forehand, and that line stapled back together. 2 of the 3 have goals.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Were you wondering, was Mike Bassick talking throughout that entire highlight about something not suitable for air? The answer, yes. Yes, he was. If you want to guess, feel free. The Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053. Now, let's talk about the Stars. The Stars get a win yesterday, 5-2, though to be fair, that score is somewhat misleading because you did hit 2 empty netters, I do believe. So it was a more competitive game than that, but it was a game that the Stars never trailed in. And so Jason Robertson got things started with a goal, which was big. We just played the Wyatt Johnston goal, which is also important because those two early on have struggled to score goals. I'm not saying that means they're bad players or anything like that, or they don't do other things all around, but those two have really struggled to score.
Yeah, they have, but it's okay. Why, Kevin? Because Logan Stankoven exists.
He does.
We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right.
He does. Logan Stankoven, I believe now, probably has the inside track to Rookie of the Year. I've been looking at some betting odds and everything on that. He put up another point. Also, Jamie Benn scored a goal. And if you're wondering, yes, this is a shameless plug. Got a Jamie Benn and a Mike Modano autograph puck for Peace-a-thon. So, by the way, that Jamie Benn puck is courtesy of the Dallas Stars.
Hey, do the voters screw over Stars like they screw over Rangers in Rookie of the Year voting?
I do not believe so. So that is a positive for Stankoven, where Langford clearly got
jobbed
in that
whole
thing.
They just vote for New Jersey Devils and New York Rangers?
I do not believe that is going to be the case. I'm not saying that the Winnipeg Jets are going to run away with it or anything like that, but
the Baltimore Capitals,
it's not a team.
Yeah, they are.
Nope.
Dude, don't get involved in this. You know where it's gonna go.
It's close.
The other night,
who do you think Baltimore roots for in hockey?
The Capitals. The other night, Adrian asked me if I would be upset if I showed her all the NFL logos and she couldn't name them, and I was like, no. But then we did it, and I showed her all the NFL logos. She crushed it. And then I said, all right, okay, now it's time to do baseball. She got all of them until we got to the Nationals, and she goes, Walgreens. And I was like, that's not it.
It's true.
By the way, logo. I'm sorry to be such a shill for this. Mike Carter will have a new game show for you to participate in. Real name or not real name of a college football player, I do believe,
yes,
will happen during Peace-a-thon in 6 days.
And from the 214, hey, Mike, HEB is building 3 new stores in North Texas.
All right. How none far them, do I have to drive? I know. Maybe it'll be within 30 minutes of South Dallas.
Sorry, Mike. I don't know.
I hear they have good food there.
How much would you bid if I could get together a Peace-a-thon auction that would build an HEB in your area?
It'd be awesome. Okay. I would go with $2,000.
Okay, fantastic.
Trader Joe's, too. I like Trader Joe's is really close to here, though. So it's not like Trader Joe's, not bad. It's within a mile, I would say, of our offices here.
Now, the first quarter MVP, The Athletic put this out, and obviously they go through all the teams, don't really care about the rest of them. I wanted to talk about Jake Oettinger. Jake Oettinger was solid in net again last night for the season. 2.25 goals against average, 917 save percentage, and he's undefeated at home.
That's nice.
And so that's one of the things, like if we're going to talk about, hey, Stankoven has been a bright spot. Robertson and Wyatt Johnston specifically have struggled to score goals along the way. But Jake Oettinger has been another huge bright spot for this team thus far.
I don't think we've ever thought, man, Jake Oettinger's the problem in the regular season.
That's fair.
I think the problem has always and consistently been we can't really afford to not play Jake Oettinger during the regular season.
Yeah.
And when it comes to playoff time, his legs are like gone. And maybe that keeps him, maybe that prevents him from turning that on. Everybody always talks about in hockey, it's the postseason run that you can go on. The Stars have that ability right now to be able to say, hey, Jake, we can work without you tonight, and we're going to be able to give you that opportunity to rest during the season. Do you think they have that?
I do.
Okay.
I mean, I know they lost last one with their backup, but I do think that.
I don't want to discount what you just pointed out about how good he's playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by any means, but when I look at this team, I often go ahead to the postseason of where is their success going to lie? Can they do those things?
Now, I wanted to throw something out about the valuation of the Stars. What do you think is the most valuable team in all of hockey?
Toronto?
That is correct. CNBC has Toronto valued at $4 billion. I'm sorry.
I'm buying it if that's
$4 billion dollars for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Followed by the New York Rangers and then the Montreal Canadiens, or the Canadiens, if you prefer. Now, where do you think the Stars kind of fit in this category of valuation?
10th.
10th, Corey? Where do you think the Stars fit in total valuation for the NHL?
7th.
They're actually 13th.
Yes!
At At one,
that's closer.
That's true. At $1.9 billion. And so you can look at the Maple Leafs. They're worth $500 million more than any other team in the NHL. And they're worth more than twice as much as the Dallas Stars. So just wanted to throw that out there if you're curious. The Dallas Stars, per CNBC, they're number 13 in the league with an annual revenue of $244 million and worth $1.9 billion. Now, let's go to the NHL player poll as we stay in the hockey space. Do you want Alex Ovechkin to break Wayne Gretzky's goal record? I think The Athletic asked about 160 people, give or take players, like in the game, and they all answered. All right, you say yes?
I say yes.
I think Mike McCarthy says he deserves it.
He's a beloved player, too.
I mean, he's played on ice and hockey, and I mean, doesn't the guy just deserve a win here?
And by the way, that is a thing that Mike McCarthy said earlier in the week, that the Cowboys deserved to win. Then he said deserved a chance to win. All right.
You get a chance.
What do you think the players said?
I think they said yes too.
They said back in the day, hockey was stupid and everybody was bad. Oh. And Gretzky only has the record because everybody was horrible at hockey and Gretzky was just okay and would be a nobody in today's game.
The netminders didn't even wear masks.
Does that sound like...
They did when he played. Yes, I could
barely.
See it. 1/4 of the players used the word cool in their response. 1.9% said no. 98.1% said, yeah, I do want to see that happen.
Yeah, I mean, look. Records are made to be broken. We want somebody to go be the greatest again. We want to see it in our generation.
True.
That's why people argue about LeBron and Michael Jordan, because they're like, this is what I'm watching. Was it De'Aaron Fox recently that was like, yeah, he's the best. I didn't get to watch Michael Jordan, so I'm not going to talk about
him. Okay, and that I at least get. It's when people are like, oh, nobody good played then. I was like, I thought you just said you didn't watch. Yeah. How do you know? All right, this is maybe the most interesting question on the list for me. Are you opposed to the NHL having more injury transparency? Because right now they're like, upper body injury, lower body injury. So they're like, are you opposed to the NHL saying, maybe it's your knee or your ankle or your shoulder or whatever?
I don't need it. You know, I'm okay with the way that it is. Is that all right?
67% of the players agreed. They said, no, don't tell them anything else.
Yeah.
So about 2/3 of the players are like, no.
Because the more they know, the finer their questions start to get about certain things. And I don't need to answer those questions. I need to focus on getting better and playing hockey.
I could see that.
That's about where I'm at. It doesn't, I guess because I'm not following as close, I'm like, I'm fine with the way they do it.
Would you be okay if that's how the NBA did it? They're like, he has an upper body injury or a lower body injury. I feel like that would irritate you.
It probably would, because like, is it his knee? Like, you know, you start getting a better idea of, hey, how long will this take? Like if they said, hey, the pitcher has an arm injury, you're like, well, is it a shoulder or an elbow?
Yeah.
There's
which
a major
arm?
Difference.
Is it his pitching arm or is it his other arm?
By the way, in case you missed it earlier, Luka Doncic has an upper body injury. He will be re-examined
in
wrist.
A week.
It is his wrist.
Are you saying
wrist.
He has short arms?
No.
Because if your arms are really long, like you have a wingspan, when you're walking, that would be part of your lower body.
You don't count that as part of your lower body. Your arms are your upper body.
It matters where your arms are at the time.
Mike actually makes sense with this one.
If your arms are down, it's part of your lower body, unless it's your shoulders. That's always part of your upper body. You can't change where your shoulders are at. You can change where your wrist is at.
The hip is where the lower body starts.
All right, so if somebody got hit in the arm, you might be like, oh, you got hit in the lower body. You never
it
say
matters
that.
What, yeah, if it's above the elbow, it's always going to be part of your upper body. But if we're talking about wrist and hand, it can be part of your lower body.
Does it matter when the injury happened then, is what you're saying?
Like when Josh Young got hit in his wrist.
It was upper body.
Yeah, because he was holding his hands up at the time.
But when he got hit in the wrist on the other play, wasn't that a ground? Oh,
no,
like
a
low
line drive.
Okay, low line drives, though, would be lower body. I get what he's saying here.
If the NHL expands to 34 teams.
His hands are on the ground catching the ball. That's part of the lower part of the ground, not the upper part of the ground.
What? The lower part of the ground and the upper part of the, are you talking about like the crust going down to the magma?
I'm just saying the ground is the lowest part that we can see. And then if you reach up, that's if you're going to call it ground, that would be the upper part, but really it's the air. Right?
No. I don't agree with any
of
that.
I'm totally correct here.
How are you correct that the air is upper ground?
If we're going to call it ground, then it would be the highest part.
I'm so lost.
The ground, when Josh Young is getting a ground ball, he's touching the ground. That would be, if he had an injury, that would be a lower injury.
Lower ground
for
body.
Our audience, I really want to point out, the question was, where would you like to see a new NHL team play?
Oh, okay.
I thought it was part of the injury history.
No, we're past that.
Where do I want something?
Montreal?
A new
they
NHL
team? They have a
team. Double it up, man.
Toronto?
Call them the Expos.
Vancouver?
Okay, believe it or not,
no,
Corey, San Antonio.
There's a team in San Jose. They're out of places.
You actually lucked into one of these answers, Corey. Toronto getting a second team is number five on the list.
Dallas Cowboys.
Ahead of them, Atlanta, Arizona. I don't know why you would do that.
You guys made me pick the Thrashers last year.
Quebec City and Houston is the number one destination that players would like to see a new NHL team.
All right.
I'm just looking at these.
Maybe
tags.
It'll work out well.
Boss came in a few minutes ago and was like,
sorry.
This has been an awesome show. Y'all been
we
so focused and locked in. And Mike was like, I'll show you.
Yeah. All right. One more question for you. Do you get more harassing messages from fans since sports betting was legalized?
Yes.
Only a third of the players said yes. Now, obviously, that's too much.
The other 66% of those don't have message. Like, they don't have Twitter or Facebook. They're like, I'm okay. Staying away from it.
Yeah, I don't know. If somebody sent me that message, I would be like, all right, are you going to send me money back when I get a hat trick? Or like, will
exactly.
We help you finish your parlay?
Yeah, tell me what your bets are that I'm getting a cut of.
Exactly. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, you know that G-Bag Nation. They're at Hurtado Barbecue in Arlington. We'll chit-chat with them next right here on The Fan.
He'll launch this time. Down the sideline, Brown! De'Ami Brown, touchdown! He had Emerson by three steps.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Let's have a chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation as they are live at Hurtado in Arlington. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Higgy. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and thank you again to D&M Leasing for always getting this crosstalk going. All right, do you guys want football, basketball, or movies to start?
Let's go movies.
All right. Do you care at all about the combination of Gladiator 2 and Wicked being released at the same time, which has caused the new, we'll see if it's a phenomenon, called Glicked?
Oh, kind of like Barbenheimer was?
Yes. Does Glicked do anything for you?
I was thinking it was going to be Wickiator.
I like that.
That's good.
I kind of like Wickiator more than Glicked.
Yeah.
Barbenheimer kind of rolled off the tongue. This does not work.
Like it doesn't hit.
No.
Uh-uh.
I do think that they're very, you know, it's good movies to go back to back because they'll be so different. I think the runtime on Wicked, though, I saw today because I might go
with
the family.
Don't say it.
It's 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah, no thank you. No thank you.
Gladiator's 220.
Okay, that's good. You could go back to back on that, you know.
That's a hell of a day.
Make a day of it. A great day.
I'm going Thanksgiving afternoon to see Gladiator.
Nice, bro.
While the Cowboys game's still on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. I'm pumped for Gladiator 2.
I don't blame you, Mike.
Can you tell me more about why you're pumped for Gladiator 2? Because the first one's amazing, and I guess I was just kind of like, why? What is this one?
The reviews have been better than I anticipated, and I think I have such nostalgia and love for the first one that if it's anywhere close in the realm, I think it'll be badass. This year's been pretty down for movies, in my opinion. There's been nothing that's really rushed me to the movie theater. That one will. I'm definitely excited to go see Gladiator 2. If it sucks, that'll be a bummer. But for me, I'm hoping it's good.
Good cast. I mean, when I saw Denzel was getting involved, I was like, okay, this thing's going to be legit. I don't think he's going to hop on something that's going to be bogus. So
doesn't feel like a money grab.
Right. Yeah, I'm fired up for it. I don't know when I'm going to go see it, but I certainly look forward to
it. He's going
to
wake up his gladiators early in the morning and make them run so they can all come together as a team.
That's Remember the Titans, Mike.
You could use it in Gladiators, too.
Yeah, it's a similar movie.
Yeah, you can remember the gladiators. Yeah.
We're going to claw for every inch of these Persians' blood.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to see Wicked on Friday
night.
That's
the movie, right?
Okay.
No, you combined two other movies, which I thought was what you were doing with 300 and Any Given Sunday. That was good right there. Thank you.
Now, do you think this has any chance? I know Mike does not care for the NBA All-Star game.
Oh, God.
Shams,
I think I could score 100 in it.
Well, not anymore.
Sharonia.
Shams says they're switching it to a street-style pickup format where the NBA will have four teams in a tournament. The first game will go up to 40 points with the two winning teams going to the finals to play for a game that goes up to 25 points. So this is somewhat similar, if not really similar, to the NHL All-Star game style. What say you guys?
I'm totally in.
Yeah.
You know, I think last year's was a joke. I agreed with Adam Silver's consternation with it.
Nice.
And I think this is going to work. You know, you break the guys into groups, four groups. You put a little competition in it. I would think a bigger prize pool for the winners.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I think this should, you know, shake it into a competitive matchup probably from tip-off.
Call your own fouls, maybe?
LeBron will shut it down. Once Kobe shut him down in an All-Star game, and he's like, what is Kobe doing? He made sure all NBA players knew we never try again ever in an All-Star game. And LeBron will still be in the All-Star game. He deserves to be, and he will make sure every player doesn't try.
Well, if that's Kobe's wishes, I say we respect him.
Okay.
He's right about that. You have to respect that.
I do, but were those Kobe's wishes?
Sounds like
Kobe's wishes were to get out there and bleed, sweat, and get the victory.
Maybe punch somebody in the face. Maybe
a street ball.
Run through someone's chest.
Damn right.
I mean, I don't know if this is going to be something that is good or not, but like Dawson said, it can't get any worse than what it was last year and really for the last decade plus. I mean, it's just been awful. So I think no ideas are bad ideas at this point.
Yeah.
Throw crap at the wall and see what sticks. If this doesn't work, then try something else. And maybe you get to a point where you're just not doing it anymore. I love a knockout. I love a knockout game. You know, I love a game of pig. You know, could we mix in some of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, get creative.
Yeah. I mean, that could
be.
Guys
care one way or another. I mean, their personal wealth portfolio is so massive right now. I don't know if money does it, like the amount of money you'd have to throw.
Yeah.
Good point. But there's a way. There's a way to trick it up. I'd say they each play for, like, a charity, maybe like a Make-A-Wish kid.
Love it.
And all four of those kids are in the audience, right?
There we go. Yep.
And the one whose team wins gets the best Make-A-Wish.
Well, they have had some elements of that where the winning team get their charity gets more. Like they've implemented that to some extent. But I would certainly keep that.
But if it's individual, it means a little more.
There you go.
You've got the kid in the arena.
You could cut to the kid like cheering.
Man. Yeah.
The disappointment.
Yeah.
That's your damn fault right there.
I'm going to meet The Rock.
You didn't get it done.
What if you beat LeBron? Your kid gets to freely make the NBA.
There you go.
Yeah. I was going to say you threaten them. You say the loser loses a finger. Y'all get to choose which guy.
Make LeBron's kid travel. Like
with
that
the
would
G
like.
League
yeah,
team?
Like you'd be like, if LeBron doesn't win this, it would make LeBron maybe try if his kid actually had to go around the country and play basketball.
Now, in the basketball space, what is your concern level Luka wrist issue going to be reevaluated in a week? So obviously out at least, I believe, the next four games.
I'm okay with this. I think that we saw that this team is very capable of winning without him. It's the best constructed Mavericks roster that Luka's ever been a part of. If anything, it could be a blessing in disguise. Go ahead and keep his body fresh for a stretch finals run, hopefully. Will he come back? Maybe out of shape. Was he in shape anyway? Not a big deal to me. I think overall this will be okay.
There you go. Pin the tail on the positive, Walchuk. I like that.
I see a bunch of numbers where they weren't very good with him not being in the lineup.
They just went the other night without him?
They're 1-0. But if you look at – let me find this. Talk among yourselves. I think I saw this just a minute ago. I'll pull it up.
I think what Walchuk is saying makes a lot of sense. We had Tim Cato on yesterday, and he was just talking about how he's dealing with all kinds of stuff. Wasn't right last year in the playoffs. So I look at this as like an early season load management break. And if he needs a couple of more, I'm kind of with let's just get into the tournament and let, you know, Luka's, you know, wreak havoc on the opposition, which he appears to be really good at figuring out in the first couple of games exactly how to dominate the other team. So I'm not that worried about playoff seeding. Just get him to the tournament.
We're going to be okay, man. We're going to be just fine through this run that you've been talking about, Kevin.
All right. I hope that you're right about that. All right. Tell everybody again, please, where are you guys at and what do we need to know about the program today?
We are live at Hurtado in Arlington, actually right across the breezeway here at Haters, their bar, but it's the same folks. And we're just hanging out with Brandon, owner proprietor here at Hurtado's. And, you know, we got a big show planned for you. We'd love to have people come by and enjoy the barbecue with us. Eric Kendrick show at 5 o'clock. We're looking forward to that. And Kevin Sheehan, he covers the Commies there on Washington Radio. He's going to join us at 3:20.
All right.
There's always things for asking.
You got to be she and me.
That's right. Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad. I like it. By the way, just shameless plug, if you get the opportunity, Brandon Hurtado and Hurtado Barbecue have helped out so much with Peace-a-thon.
He's like, awesome.
Yeah. They've set up several meals that we're able to auction off and everything. So go check them out and go see the G-Bag Nation. Remember, tomorrow we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington off of North Collins. If you want to come and see us, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.